Dear Heavenly Father, you say to us in Acts chapter 17, verse 27, that he is actually not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. Lord, your word says that you desire a relationship with us, that you sent your son Jesus to die for us so that we can have this relationship with you. You speak to us through your word and you desire that we speak to you back in prayer. Please help us likewise to have that desire to connect with others, especially to connect with our partners in the gospel. We pray that you may give us a love and concern for them that is like what we see in Philippians today. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
In the Christmas of 2023, our family got a Christmas present for my cousin who was up in the Gold Coast. It was a polo shirt from Maya. It was not too bad, I thought. And so we drove up to the Gold Coast. We gave the gift to my cousin. He said thanks, and we thought it was the end of it. When we get back to Sydney at our next family gathering, my brother hands me a Christmas present wrapped up, and he says, "Hey, this is for you." I open it, and it's the same shirt that I gave to my cousin. It turned out that my cousin didn't want it, so he gave the shirt to my brother for Christmas, who then gave it back to me for Christmas. And now, of course, I am determined to make this a family tradition every year. I'm going to give this back to my cousin, and it's going to come back around to me again. Do you think it is a waste, this kind of activity? On the one hand, maybe you could say, well, you know, you should use your money and time for something more productive, right? But on the other hand, maybe something a bit deeper is happening here. I read this book on anthropology recently that had a bit on these tribes in these circle of islands, and these tribes would give gifts to each other, but really insignificant gifts. We're talking stuff made out of sticks, rocks, you know, that kind of thing. One tribe would give to another, and then the other tribe would give, pass it on to the next one, that kind of thing. They'd pass these gifts around the circle until it came back to the first one. And the reason they did this was not because these gifts actually helped or enriched the lives of the recipients. It was just a signal that they wanted relationships between the tribes to continue. And I wonder whether that's actually what's behind the back and forth of all the gifts, all the communication, that what goes around comes around, of what we say and give to the people around us. We're not really so much giving something that people need, right? And most of the gifts that we receive, we could probably get for ourselves. But they're a sign or a signal that says, I want you in my life. And I think that's the kind of attitude that we see in Paul and the Philippians today as they communicate back and forth with one another. And my hope is that our church feels the same, has the same attitude, feels that I want you in my life, and we do the same with our partners in the gospel. We saw very early on in the book of Philippians that Paul is writing this letter from prison. He is under house arrest in Rome. But even though he's in prison, he still considers himself a partner in the gospel with the Philippian church. He still wants to see the gospel go out. In our passage today, what we see is how that partnership in the gospel is expressed. And it's expressed in relationships of exchange, exchanging things with one another. Christians can sometimes be uncomfortable with the idea of exchange, right? We love the idea of grace. We love the idea of giving what people don't deserve. We love the idea of one-sided giving because this is what God does for us. And so the idea of giving back might cheapen things a bit. And the Bible does teach that God is gracious, right? Don't get me wrong. But the Bible also teaches that grace begets grace. There is meant to be a bit of exchange. When Jesus healed 10 people with leprosy, he got a bit mad that only one of them came back to thank him. Psalm 116, the first Christian church service ever held in Australia, the text of the sermon was verse 12. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? There is a kind of exchange even with grace. But the difference is that people give because they want to, rather than because they have to. Christians do exchange. Partners in the gospel exchange. And in our passage today, we're going to see two types of exchange between Paul and the Philippians. We're going to see an exchange of envoys and an exchange of emotions. And so firstly, an exchange of envoys. Have a look at verse 19. This is Paul writing and he says, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon so that I too may be cheered by news of you." Then look at verse 25. On the other side, he says, "I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need." You see, each side is sending messages to the other side. Paul sends Timothy to the Philippians. The Philippians send Epaphroditus to Paul. And they do this for several reasons. Verse 19, we can see that they do it to share news with each other. They want to hear about each other. Verse 25, we can see that they send people so that they can be a real help to people in their need. Can you imagine a married couple or a family that never spoke to one another? Now, I'm sure those kinds of families exist, but there's something wrong with that, isn't there? Partners in the gospel are not married, but they are partners. They're meant to care how each other are going. They communicate, they hear, and they help. Does our church do this with our partners in the gospel? With our link missionaries, Dan and Mel in Nepal, Joel and Tiff in Vanuatu, do we do it with our compassion children? Do we do it with each other? Because we are all partners in the gospel as well. In our internet age, it's very easy to send a message or an email, and we should be doing these things, but there's something special as well about going in person or sending someone to be in person with them. In both 2 and 3 John, John writes words like, "Though I have much to write to you, I would rather not use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk face to face so that our joy may be complete." And that's why it's so encouraging to hear Kevin, you know, come back from Nepal and give us the eyewitness account of what it's like on the ground in Nepal with Dan and Mel. It's why it's so great that we can look forward to Joel and Tiff, who are visiting our church as part of their home assignment in March. And even just regular church on Sunday, growth groups, one-to-ones, these are opportunities for partners in the gospel to get together in person, to see how we are traveling spiritually, and to pray and help each other in our need. I was at a meeting of pastors in Hornsby, in the Hornsby area late last year. So a bunch of pastors, different churches, all gathered together. The guy who organized it was really pushing for a kind of partnership in the gospel. And he said to us all, "Partnership between churches is so hard. It's going out for coffee and lunches with each other." Mm-hmm. You know, it's actually not that hard, is it? To send a message, to meet up with someone, to maybe visit a missionary or your compassion child as part of your leave. Partners in the gospel care about how each other are going. And they send people and they meet together to do that. But there's not just an exchange of envoys between Paul and the Philippians. There's also an exchange of emotions. Notice the rich emotional language, the heart language of this passage. I think this is probably the most emotional bit in all of Philippians. Paul here, he shares what makes him happy. He shares what makes him anxious and even what makes him angry. Verse 19, he wants to be cheered by the news of the Philippians. Verse 20, he shows how much he loves Timothy. He has no one like him. Verse 27, he says he has sorrow upon Epaphroditus' sickness. And verse 28, he sends Epaphroditus back because he's anxious about how the Philippians feel about him. He wants them to have that joyful reunion. You see, Paul may be a man, but he's not afraid to talk about his feelings. And this emotional sharing is not just on Paul's side, but on the Philippians' side as well. You know, verse 26, when he talks about Epaphroditus, notice who's distressed. It doesn't say the Philippians were, though they probably were. It's Epaphroditus who is distressed, the Philippians' messenger, the one who is sick. It doesn't say how Epaphroditus got so close to death or what illness he contracted, but he's the one who is worried. he's worried because the Philippians are worried. And he wants them to know he's okay. There's an exchange of emotions here. But I also want you to notice the kind of emotions that are expressed here. There are some who will hear the message, Christians should express their emotions, and they will use that to justify all sorts of hate, contempt, and complaint. And they will defend it by saying, well, I'm just expressing my emotions. The Bible has no time for that. It even says in this passage, look, verse 21, Paul writes, in contrast to how concerned Timothy is, Paul says, for they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. The kinds of emotions that are honourable and praiseworthy are the ones that are in line with Jesus. The emotions that want to make disciples, the emotions of compassion and community and confidence, these are the emotions that Christians are called to share with one another. William Carey, who was a British Christian missionary to India, he said once, I'm not afraid of failure. I'm afraid of succeeding at things that don't matter. Now, he must have seen the same thing that Paul did, that people seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. And he wanted to feed and express those emotions about things that did matter, about the glory of God, about the spread of the gospel, about making disciples of all nations. And I think this is something that our church in particular can really take to heart. I have no doubt that in this church is a burning desire, a burning heart for the gospel, a passion for the lost to become disciples of Jesus. We want this. There is a healthy respect and love for the word of God at this church and a godly concern for each other's salvation as well. But how much do we express it? The way that Paul spoke to his partners in the gospel, I don't think you would ever call him a chill guy. You'd never say that he plays it cool. You'd never say that he was tough or stoic. But that's probably because he seeks the interest of Jesus Christ and not his own. Can we say similar things? If someone is going down the wrong track, can we say to them, I'm worried about you? If someone's going really well with Jesus, or if God has blessed them, can we say, I'm so happy for you? If we know of solid, loving, generous Christians, would we say of them, there is no one like him, there is no one who loves like that person? You see, encouraging people is not just about finding the right argument or finding the right verse of the Bible to read to them. You need that. But you also need that relational, emotional aspect of it as well. And it enriches it. A Christian woman I met once, she had two siblings. And she told me how her dad said to them, look, the only thing I want from you is for you to be Christians. Now, by God's grace, all three of them became Christians. Partners in the gospel share an exchange of emotions. And so the idea of exchange is not foreign to Christians. Christians do experience and engage in a back and forth between each other. But it's not an exchange of money. It's an exchange of love and grace. This was true for Paul and the Philippians. And this is true for us as well in our church with our partners in the gospel overseas. You know, we are called to exchange our news and emotions with them. Would our partners in the gospel be able to say about us that we are genuinely concerned for their welfare? Would they say that we serve with them in the gospel? That they know no church like our church? Let me pray that they will. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the examples of Paul and Timothy and Epaphroditus. Thank you for their heart for the gospel. Thank you that they do not look after their own interests, but the interests of Jesus Christ. And thank you for the rich exchange of news and emotions that we see between Paul and the Philippian church. Heavenly Father, we pray that we may be like that with our gospel partners. We pray that within this church there may be an exchange of news and love and grace and emotions between one another. We pray that we may be countercultural in the way that we share how we feel as we serve the interests of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray this for our wider partners as well, our Link missionaries overseas, our Compassion Children overseas, and even Christians who we might not have seen in a while. Please help us to be concerned for their welfare. Please help us to express it, to not be too cool for it. And Lord, we pray that in that way, there may be these great relationships that are built, these great partnerships that are built between us and them. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.